At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
We have reached an important moment in the history of the coronavirus pandemic. The crazy battle over the need to wear a mask appears to be ending.
Each day forward at this point, based upon the trajectory of infection in our community, it is becoming less important overall for people to mask in just about any environment.
Which means that in communities across the land, including here in New York City, officials are beginning to lift rules for masks in public settings, including schools.
New Yorkers have done an amazing job in following the rules, so we're going to pull back on children wearing masks outdoors.
New York's Mayor Eric Adams on WCBS This Week with that good news. This week on 880 In Depth, this dramatic change of thinking about the need to wear masks and the silver lining that came from the Omicron surge.
Many, many people have become infected. And when we consider the number of people who have some degree of immunity currently to COVID, it's probably upward toward around 75% based upon some modeling.
Welcome to 880 In Depth. I'm Tim Scheld. The CDC made a major move this week in a very, very low-key way.
Welcome and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the Q&A session, if you'd like to ask a question, you may press star 1 on your phone.
In a mid-afternoon teleconference on a Friday, a day when the Russian invasion of Ukraine and the announcement of an historic U.S. Supreme Court justice nominee dominated headlines, the CDC released new guidelines with new metrics to determine when and where people should wear masks now and how and when social distancing rules make sense.
Sir, you may begin.
And thank you all for joining us for today's COVID-19 update.
This is a big deal. The subject of lawsuits and bitter debate in communities across the land over the past 2 years. It's also a new path toward the place we've all been headed to, hoping for, in fact, the place called a new normal. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky.
Today, CDC is updating its framework to monitor the level of COVID-19 in communities. We're in a stronger place today as a nation with more tools to protect ourselves and our communities from COVID-19, like vaccination, boosters, broader access to testing, availability of high-quality masks, accessibility to new treatments, and improved ventilation. Over 200 million people have received a primary vaccine series, and nearly 100 million have been boosted, and millions more have had prior disease. With widespread population immunity, the overall risk of severe disease is now generally lower. Now, as the virus continues to circulate in our communities, we must focus our metrics beyond just cases in the community and direct our efforts toward protecting people at high risk for severe illness and preventing COVID-19 from overwhelming our hospitals and our healthcare systems. This new framework moves beyond just looking at cases and test positivity to evaluate factors that reflect the severity of disease, including hospitalizations and hospital capacity, and helps to determine whether the level of COVID-19 and severe disease are low, medium, or high in a community. The COVID-19 community level we are releasing today will inform CDC recommendations on prevention measures like masking. And CDC's recommendations for layered prevention measures will depend on the COVID-19 level in the community.
Previous guidelines recommended the use of masks for people who live in areas with substantial or high rates of transmission, which accounted for about 95% of U.S. counties. Now, the CDC will rely more on hospitalization rates and hospital capacity as a measure of severe disease in communities. And based on these new metrics, most Americans live in places where it is now safe enough to stop wearing masks. Of course, ending mask mandates themselves in schools and places of business and other spots will be up to government officials in places like New York. New York's Mayor Eric Adams told us this week,
"We are moving in the right direction. We're going to do it in a safe way, because all of these experts will tell you one thing. We can't close down again. We can't close down again."
In the case of all these leaders who are now rolling back mandates in the coming days and weeks, there are still circumstances where masks might be worthwhile. And don't look for a rollback in transportation circumstances like on trains and planes anytime soon. But because we had questions about where we should still wear masks, we got on the phone with a person who's been a steady guide for us these past 2 years over the pandemic.
Dr. David Hirschwerk. I'm an infectious disease specialist, but I am the medical director at North Shore University Hospital in Manhasset.
Dr. Hirschwerk spoke to our Peter Haskell.
Tell us what you're seeing these days in terms of COVID, and how have things changed since the Omicron spike?
Things have changed considerably, and our rates in the community of new COVID infections has significantly diminished. Our rates in the New York metro area is around 2% positivity rate, and with that, our hospitalizations have really diminished significantly. The number of people that we are caring for at the hospital has come down. The number of new admissions of people to the hospital that have COVID has also come down. Our intensive care units really have very, very few people at this point who have COVID as their main diagnosis. And so overall, it's a dramatically improved situation relative to where we were at the latter part of December, early January.
There's been a lot of seemingly confusing guidance about masking these days. The risk is certainly lower. What would you suggest at this point?
In terms of masking?
Correct.
Yeah, I think that the overall rate of transmission in the community is significantly lower, so overall exposure to the virus is significantly diminished. I think we also know that in outdoor environments that the risk of spread is really very, very low. I think that for the most part, masks have become less necessary at this point because the rates are so low. Certainly outside, I can think of very few situations overall where I think that there's a strong indication for masks. I think in indoor environments, it becomes more a personal decision that people need to make. I think overall, as I say, the rates are really very low. If somebody, for example, has been vaccinated and boosted and they don't have significant underlying medical problems that would predict that they might not respond to the vaccine, that I think that not wearing masks at this point is reasonable, assuming that you're not in an extremely crowded environment where you may not know the vaccine status of other people. But I also think that each day we go forward, as the rates continue to go down,
we're seeing lower and lower risk overall. I think there are certain sites where it continues to make sense to mask, and one of those is in healthcare environments, in the hospital. And I think, at least for the foreseeable future, I can envision us continuing to wear masks, because even though the rates are very low at 2%, there still is some degree of transmission. And we have a different population of individuals who are in hospitals naturally. And we have people who are have underlying medical conditions. And we, of course, want to do everything we can to protect them, also to protect staff. And so I think that for the foreseeable future, we'll be wearing masks. I'm not sure that that lasts forever, though. I also do think that if we get to the point where rates really fall off and become extremely low, and that is sustained, that there may be a situation where even in healthcare settings, we lift the masks. But I think that's something that has yet to be determined, and we'll have to follow.
The debate over masks has been especially bitter surrounding school kids. So what does David Hirschwerk think about the need for masks in schools?
Yeah, I think hard for me to really get in the middle of that right now. I think that, you know, everything that I just shared really sort of applies to all environments. And I think, again, you know, if you have groups of people that have been vaccinated and protected and the rates are very, very low in the community overall, that the value of wearing masks really becomes significantly diminished. You know, hard to know exactly what that threshold number is for percent infection rates in the community, but what I would say is that each day forward at this point, based upon the trajectory of infection in our community, it is becoming less important overall for people to mask in just about any environment.
Should a school or a school district look at the vaccination rate and say, look, we don't have as many kids vaccinated as we like, we're going to keep it in place? And is that an appropriate way to incentivize people to get their kids vaccinated?
I think that's one piece of data that needs to be examined, and I think that that has been. I also think that the overall rates in the community, regardless of the individual class vaccination rates, also impact things, because people often become infected in the communities where they live. There have been lots of strategies to try to encourage people to be vaccinated, including, you know, incentives that if one is vaccinated, that they may not have to wear masks. And to some degree, those strategies have been successful, but they haven't been entirely successful. So I think that each of these things may have some value, but by itself, none of them have really proven to be the, you know, the main influencer of why somebody will choose to get vaccinated or not, or at least an influencer of large populations of individuals.
We've seen this deep political divide, and you and I have talked about this in the past. You know, at one point, people were dug in. You were for the mask. You were against the masks. Some suggest there's a middle ground now. But do you think those entrenched beliefs make it harder for the people on the pro-mask side to say, okay, I can let up a little bit now, it's safe?
Yeah, I think that I think the best approach is to recognize what the situation in our community and in our environment is. I think to insist that masks be used all the time, regardless of rates in our community, I think, you know, takes away from the science of why masks would be recommended to begin with. I mean, rat masks, among other things, are used as a tool to help to slow down the transmission in communities. It never was intended to completely block transmission, but it was a tool that was helpful. I think it is especially helpful when rates are very, very high in the communities, and it as I had just mentioned, really becomes minimally helpful, if perhaps not even helpful at all, when rates are very, very low, especially if individuals are fully vaccinated and are not at risk of developing severe illness. So I think going forward, what really makes most sense is the decision to use masks should be based upon what is happening in the community. And if we have reliable, up-to-date data on what infection rates are in our community, as well as in other areas that may predict that our own area will eventually become impacted, that the decisions to use masks could be based upon real-time data, as opposed to just a blanket statement that masks need to be used or masks do not need to be used. And I think, I could envision periods of time going forward where if rates were to go up because of a new variant or something of that sort, that masks would be indicated. Whereas if we're in a situation right now where the rates are very, very low, that not using masks really makes a lot of sense.
New Jersey's Health Commissioner Judith Persichelli said this week that the school mask mandate there will expire March the 7th, and the decision will then be up to local districts themselves as to whether to have their own mask mandates.
We encourage school districts and child care centers to consult with their local health departments and school nurses in determining whether a universal masking policy is appropriate for their schools and childcare centers. Providing a healthy and safe environment is key to keeping our children in schools.
Hirschwerk thinks this push to use real-time metrics focused on serious disease makes sense.
And that's exactly what I'm getting at, is that that would be the ideal situation, is that we would have public health efforts based upon real-time data that could help to drive the decisions to use masks. Now, there are differences between mandates and recommendations. I think that in more vulnerable environments like hospitals, it would need to be a mandate where if rates are above a certain point, that stronger efforts are put into place, where as in the community, whether it's a restaurant or a store, or a theater, that, it, depending upon the rates, it may be a recommendation or it may be a mandate. You know, there's also a difference in the types of masks that are used. I mean, any type of face covering is better than no face covering in terms of reducing risk of transmitting the virus from somebody who's infected to others. In terms of protecting oneself from infection, naturally, using an N95 mask or a K95 mask is going to be far superior than using a cloth face covering, and also better than using a surgical mask. But each of those remains with some value. And I think that it is at the point now where we're 2 years into this that it is also recognized that there really is a difference in the types of masks that people use in terms of protecting themselves.
I want to put you on the spot and get your own personal comfort level. How do you feel about going to a Broadway theater or a ball game at that UBS or the Garden, or eating inside a restaurant? If you go to a concert or if you go to a ball game, do you wear a mask? What's your sense of that?
Yeah, right. So I have been to restaurants, I've been to ball games, and I'm going to the theater this weekend. And I feel comfortable doing those things right now because the rates are low and because I'm somebody who has been boosted. I recognize that the risk is not zero of becoming infected, but I feel better about things because the rates are very low. And in terms of mask wearing, well, it depends. I will say that I was at Madison Square Garden, not during the peak of the Omicron, but during a period where there was activity. And for that, I wore an N95 mask, but I was boosted, and I felt that because there was a requirement for vaccination to get in, that wearing an N95, but yet being there and enjoying the game was something that I was comfortable doing. So I make decisions about each of these things based upon what the rates are in the area and also based upon who I'm with. So I want to be mindful of the health conditions and vulnerability of anybody that I might be out with as well.
Last question. Just give us a sense of perspective. We have come so far in this pandemic, and still 2,000 people a day in the country are dying. That's number one. Number two, what do you see going forward? How do you see things evolving going forward?
I think it's tragic that we have as many people dying each day from COVID as we do at this point in the pandemic. We know that mortality is a lagging indicator of activity in the area, and the rates are continuing to fall, fortunately, but they're falling only weeks after the overall rates of transmission started to fall. But I think that that's really speaks to all of the public health challenges that have existed since the beginning of the pandemic. I think going forward is really hard to predict. I think we are all hesitant to be over predictors of this COVID crisis because there's been so many curveballs that have been thrown since the very beginning. I think many of us feel extremely optimistic right now, at least for the next several months. But, you know, we all recognize that there's always the potential for a new variant to emerge, especially since there remains heavy activity in some parts of the world, and many parts of the world have not had the same vaccination rates as other parts in the world. So with that, there's a risk of new variants emerging. The good news, if there is any, from the Omicron surge is that many, many people have become infected, and when we consider the number of people who have some degree of immunity currently to COVID, it's probably upward toward around 75% based upon some modeling. So I think in terms of what we see for the next several months, I think there's good reason for optimism, and even though we have said this before, there's the hope that our spring and summer will be really very, very good.
For his part, Eric Adams, New York City's new mayor, told WCBS 880 this week.
Mr. Mayor, you said this week that you're going to make an announcement of some sort in the next couple of days about the indoor vaccine mandate for the restaurants and the gyms and all that. So have you made a decision what you're going to do about that?
It's interesting. I said I want to pull back on all of these mandates, actually, but we want to do it in a very smart way. And so as the dates continue to move forward, I'm looking at the numbers daily with my team each morning. And when the doctors give me the thumbs up, I'm going to make those announcements as we continue to pull back on the mandates. But first, we're going to follow the science. I cannot say that enough, because we don't want to shut down our city again.
In Depth is a production of WCBS News Radio 880. Peter Haskell and myself, Tim Scheld, are the executive producers. We invite you to subscribe to hear us on your time, on demand. Just look for 880 In Depth wherever you get your audio. Thank you for listening, and as always, please be safe.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame, how will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5. Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.